Roger Isom, President, CEO.
We are here at your Nut Theft training that you guys have been putting on. You guys had the Nut Theft Summit. My listeners are familiar with some of these problems. How big of a problem is this, just in kind of a broad aspect? How big of a problem is this for California?
Well, for California, it is a big issue. For the tree nut industry alone, cost-wise, in this last 6 months, it's $10 to $15 million of loss. So just the tree nut industry alone, it's big. But as we've already heard this morning, we're the number one state. We're actually, Los Angeles is now the number one area for cargo theft in the world. So it's not only is it a big issue, it's a growing issue.
You guys had your Nut Theft Summit where you really addressed the big crime that we had in Tulare County and some other crimes that you knew about as well. You kind of notified the community of what's going on, how it's done, how it's being done. Since then, there have been some thefts from people who maybe didn't implement some of the measures that you talked about then. Talk about that. And there's been some thwarted, correct?
That's right. So when we held the summit back in December, it was an emergency summit. So it was kind of, we threw it together in less than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'd had a few hits, a lot of money. It happened real quick. No one knew what the hell was happening. Let's get everybody together and at least make them aware of it. Mm-hmm. So we talked some preliminary details and that, but there were a lot of action items to come out of that. One was developing a set of procedures they can put in place to protect themselves. And that since that summit, the thefts have continued. And part of it is because the value of the nuts is still high. Nuts are an attractive commodity because they have a long shelf life. It's not like stealing a load of melons or a load of lettuce and you got to turn and burn it really quickly. They can do this over time. They can do it slowly, not draw attention to themselves. And so we're an attractive commodity. Not only that, compared to some of the other things that historically have been stolen, like batteries or tires or tablets, there's no serial numbers on this stuff. And especially the bulk shipments, you know, they can dump those out and repackage them in minutes and be on their way. So it's continued. Where we've really seen a problem is folks that have not put the procedures in place. When I talk about procedures, I'm talking about going to the extent of taking not only photographs of the drivers, but getting their thumbprints, going out to the truck, taking pictures of the VIN number, looking at the license plates, just some basic knowledge about license plate numbers, because some of the trucks we found out had, they weren't the actual license plates for the truck, they were stolen off of pickup trucks or cars, and if you know kind of the numbering system, you can recognize that, hey, that's not a legit, we had one here recently that basically had a piece of paper with a license plate number written with a Sharpie. So, I mean, it's now that's not the norm. Mm-hmm. Most of these are very, very sophisticated. And again, 6 months ago, as I said in the opening, this wasn't even on our radar screen. Look at the shipping paper. Yeah, that's legitimate. That's TNT trucking or whatever that we've been dealing with for 20 years, not knowing that identity has been stolen. And that's probably the biggest thing is that we've seen trucking companies had their identity stolen. The paperwork looks exactly the same. You look at the phone number, you don't remember numbers, you call the number, it goes to a phone bank that's completely bogus, has burner cell phones. And so it basically forced the industry to start being diligent about what they're doing. If you're doing that, you're gonna stop a lot of it. And we've seen that. We've had guys where they say, hey, I want to take your picture, I need your driver's license, and they said, okay, I'll be right back, I'll go out to my truck. And next thing you know, you see the tail lights because the truck's driving off. That doesn't happen in every case, because in a lot of cases, the driver's completely unaware that he's part of this thing. He's just been told to go pick up a load here. And then he gets diverted somewhere on his way to his destination. He gets paid, drops off the load. He's none the wiser. He didn't even know he was part of it. But the main thing is getting those initial practices in place. Just that level of protection is going to stop 90% of the thefts. But we need to do this. And the reason we're holding this today isn't just to rehash the old news. We've learned a few things since then, some more details of what we need to be doing. And when you talk about efforts that we're doing, American Pistachio Growers and Western Ag Processors, is we need to educate everybody. And when I say educate, tell them about the procedures, tell them how this theft is occurring, but also to say, or on our part, is to, we need to change the laws. Ultimately, we need to put some teeth into the law of, hey, you're gonna spend some time, not just the drivers, but whoever's behind it, some serious time. But to start that, one of the things we learned in that emergency summit is that we weren't talking to each other. The industry wasn't talking to each other. Shippers weren't talking to the trucking companies. Trucking companies weren't talking to the processors. Sheriff's departments weren't talking to cities. So if a theft occurred in a city within the county, and so it's like, hey guys, we all ought to work together. One of the things too is that, you know, with the tree nuts, we're in the rural counties, right? If this, the theft occurs in Los Angeles, but where it originated was in the rural counties. And so these guys don't have a lot of resources. But this is a serious crime. It's being done by organized crime syndicates, if you will. So how do we spend the time to combat that and really track these guys down? They're going to need some resources. So one of our action items was to come up with legislation to create a statewide agricultural cargo theft task force. And that's the legislation, AB 2805. It's bipartisan. We have, it's Assemblywoman Kristen Olson's carrying it, mm-hmm. but Assemblyman Adam Gray and Senator Anthony Cannella are co-authors. Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, we'll have a lot of co-authors that creates that statewide task force, not just sheriffs, but CHP, through their cargo theft interdiction program, hopefully eventually the FBI and any other law enforcement agency wants to be in it, and industry. And we start working together. We went back to DC 3 weeks ago. We met with several congressional representatives from the Valley and Senator Feinstein's office, and they're even offering to try to find Department of Justice funds to help do this, to give these guys the tools they need, and then help these guys, the Sheriff's Department. I think these guys will tell you they didn't even know how this crime was being done and knew nothing about cargo theft. It's just something doesn't happen in Tulare County or Madera County. Now it does, and we're very, very attractive, as I said. So. This is why we're putting this on, is to get people educated, get them working together. This is a long-term process. We're not going to solve this overnight. We need to be working on several different facets, all working together. And so that's really the reason for the summit.
You're starting to see with the task force situation that you're talking about, you're starting to see some of these sheriff's departments and stuff start to dedicate detectives to ag crime. And I think that shows that I think a lot of people would jump behind a statewide task force so that communication can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a lot of crimes go on, even in agriculture, right? We've had copper wire thieves. You know, we've had all that out there. We've had anhydrous ammonia stolen, all these meth addict things. But this is much more serious. And so by bringing those guys together, getting those sheriffs tools they need and educating them and getting communicating, what we found out when we went to Los Angeles was we actually had sheriffs that had been working together. But when they see the information up there, they start recognizing people. They start recognizing trucks. And it's like, hey, that one was involved in my case. Mm-hmm. And you start to make the connections and realize that, hey, maybe it's one organization. And yeah, the communication that's happened since that summit has led them to, I think, ultimately, who's behind this and ways that we can combat it.
Last thing here, you guys are working as a group to increase some funds for this, the statewide task force. You're also looking at possibly a better insurance package. Talk about that.
So on the insurance side, again, at that summit, some guys, when they had the theft, they said, oh, well, hey, let's go to the insurance company. It'll be covered. Well, in a lot of cases, what they realized that if it's done through fictitious pickup, the insurance companies consider that you voluntarily gave up that load. It wasn't really taken from you. Well, you know, that's semantics, but in the sense that if I put a gun to the driver's head and take it, that's covered. But if I voluntarily gave it up because I accepted bogus paperwork, that's my problem. And so what we're doing is we went to the insurance companies. We've got a couple of them that we're trying to get information and bids from to say we need a package that covers us in this case. And so that's what we're doing. But in turn, they're just not going to write a $500,000 policy. They're going to say, okay, but you guys have to do certain things. One of them is that you have to adopt and implement these procedures, which we've been working on. The second one is you have to train and educate your people. That's the summit. So that's also a long-term process, but that's what we're doing. A lot of other guys, if they had their policy, they rely on the trucking companies because they said, oh, they carry policies. Well, unfortunately, most of those only carry $100,000 policies, which for a lot of the stuff that they haul, probably okay. But when you're talking about finished pistachios and you're looking at $500,000, well, you've covered 20% of your load and the rest of it, you're out of luck. So we need something that covers the full value of the load, that covers us in these type of situations. And hopefully we never use it. Hopefully they implement the procedures that protect it. But we have to have a policy that covers us in this because we're growing nuts in the valley, in the state, and we're going to keep growing them. And so we need something that protects us.